Good morning and welcome to Shattering Myths. I am Yada. Each weekday here on GCN, we strive to expose the destructive and the deadly myths that are associated with religion and politics, with patriotism in the media, and with military and economic schemes. Instead of merely presenting the news, our mission is to understand what is actually occurring behind the headlines and predicting how these events will shape our world. Then during our second hour, we're going to engage God on His terms through evidence and reason, since His is the lone credible voice in an exceedingly troubled world. Our phone number, if you'd like to participate in this discussion at any time over the next 2 hours, is 877-300-7645. This story was reported by Fox News. It's right up Fox's alley, but there are some insights here that aren't just being reported by Fox, but also by those of a political inclination on the opposite side of the aisle, by CNN. And so it appears that there is considerable credence to what we're going to consider. The story begins even as the White House labels Benghazi a phony scandal. A raft of new allegations and concerns is once again bringing the controversy back to the forefront in Washington, D.C. Fox News has learned that at least 5 CIA employees were forced to sign additional non-disclosure agreements this past spring in the wake of the Benghazi attack. Now, these 5 CIA agents had already signed such agreements before the attack, but were made to sign new agreements, specially tailored and aimed at discouraging the survivors of that attack from sharing their stories with the media or with anyone else. CNN has also reported that dozens of people working for the CIA were in Benghazi on the night of the attack, and that the employees are being intimidated into remaining silent. CIA spokesman Dean Boyd pushed back on the claims in a written statement released Friday. Now, understand that our intelligence agencies will lie even if the truth serves their interests. It is in their nature. They are about deception. They don't trust anyone, including themselves. This is the release. CIA employees are always free to speak to Congress if they want to. Didn't say they were free to speak to the American people. Didn't say that our intelligence agencies were free to keep us informed. Isn't that the purpose of intelligence? So that the people might be informed, so that they might understand the threat, so that they might be able to protect themselves? No, they're free, however, to speak to Congress if they want to, or if Congress wants to listen to them. And there is an established process to facilitate such communication on a confidential basis. In other words, they don't want a public disclosure. Behind the scenes, tell someone who will pay no attention to what is said. The CIA enables all officers involved in Benghazi the opportunity to meet with Congress, he said. By the way, that also was not true. We are not aware of any CIA employee who has experienced retaliation, including any non-routine security procedures, or has been prevented from sharing a concern with Congress about the Benghazi incident, end quote. Now, in the immediate aftermath of the Benghazi attack, while it was occurring, the White House was given contemporaneous news feeds from both the CIA and from the State Department. They were both conclusive, saying that the State Department facility in Benghazi was under attack by a group of very well-armed jihadists, that the attack was coordinated, that it had obviously been planned, and that they were being overwhelmed. The CIA provided an immediate report saying that the jihadist organization that had planned the attack and that had coordinated the attack, had supplied the weapons and the mujahideen for the attack, was Ansar Sharia. Ansar is a very common term in the Quran and the Hadith. It means friends of. When Muhammad left Mecca in shame following the satanic verses, he dragged a couple of handfuls of Meccan Muslims along with him, and they were considered superior to the new converts to Islam in Yathrib, today's Medina. And so the Medinan or Yathrib Arabs who joined Islam and who pledged in the Pledge of Aqaba to wage war against all humankind on behalf of Muhammad and his wannabe god Allah were called the Ansar, the supporters, the friends. So friends of Sharia are friends of fundamentalist Islam. Sharia is Islamic law. It is comprised entirely from the Quran and Hadith. About 99% of Sharia is from the Hadith, which are the oral reports from Muhammad, and about 1% comes from the Quran. In the Hadith, as well as in the Quran, Muhammad, who is the basis for Sharia law, is presented as a terrorist. He led 75 terrorist raids in the first 10 years of the Islamic era. He is shown to be a mass murderer. He is shown to be a thief, a kidnapper, and a slave trader. He is shown to be a rapist, a pedophile, and incestuous. Sharia law is based entirely on his words and deeds. Therefore, those that perpetrated the attack on the Benghazi State Department facility were fundamentalist Muslims. They were friends of Sharia law. During the attack, the White House knew that to be true. And immediately after the attack, the following morning, after 12 different edits of the CIA report on what had occurred during the night in Benghazi, the President of the United States deliberately, knowingly, and purposefully lied. He wanted to promote the notion that a Christian extremist who made a movie, just a trailer actually, about Muhammad was to blame. And that's what he told the United States. That's what he had his administration, including Secretary of State Hillary Rodham Clinton, tell the American citizens and the world. That's what he declared 5 days later at the United Nations. He knew it was untrue. It was a deliberate lie to deceive America into believing that fundamentalist Islam was not responsible, that America supplying the weapons to the Mujahideen, the jihadists in Libya, had not been used against Americans to kill them. And replacing the truth with a lie that a Christian extremist was responsible. That fit Obama's agenda. That fit Obama's worldview. And so the hell with the truth, the lie was more effective for him. And most Americans swallowed it. So now what did the administration have to do? To silence those who know that the President of the United States deliberately lied about an issue that is life and death, not only to those who suffered in Benghazi, but to all Americans. The threat of fundamentalist Islam, which is responsible for 99% of the terrorist acts around the world. And the design of many in Washington, including this president, to recast the enemy so that the enemy is no longer Islam, but is instead extremist Americans, which they would view as conservatives, as Christians. So what do? They have forced those who know the truth to remain silent so that their lie isn't exposed. The article continues, but the claims have fueled concerns by lawmakers that while the government is spending much energy on keeping Benghazi personnel quiet, not enough progress is being made in tracking down those actually responsible for the strike. The government doesn't want you to know who's responsible. That's why they don't track them down. They know that Ansar Sharia is responsible. And the moment you understand what Ansar Sharia means and why they did it and whose weapons they were using, then this whole notion that we're at war against terrorism unravels. And the President of the United States has committed an impeachable offense. Lawmakers pointed to a report by CNN earlier this week in which Ansar al-Sharia leader Ahmed Abu Qatala told the network that nobody from the American government has contacted him. Ansar al-Sharia is a militant group in the region considered of high interest in connection with the attack. They're not considered in high interest. It was known at the time of the attack, and it has been affirmed many times thereafter that they were responsible. There is also documentation that I've had verified that is being shown around the world by Waleed Shobat, who's been a guest on this program. And I've had affirmed by IQ al-Rasuli, who is a regular guest on this program, that shows that during the attack, there are cell phone cameras that record the shouts of the perpetrators, identifying who they are and who they were working on behalf of. And it turns out also implicated in the motivation for this is the Muslim Brotherhood, which is the wellspring from which Ansar Sharia has come. Welcome back to Shattering Myths. I'm your host, Yadam. You can engage in this conversation by calling 877-300-7645. So here's the head of Ansar Sharia. He perpetrated these murders. He used American weapons. He announced who he was killing, why he was killing. It was an event that had been planned months in advance. And he is gloating in public restaurants in the Benghazi area, and the United States government hasn't even bothered to interview him. It is truly amazing the depths that we have fallen. The Congress, of course, is just all a Twitter over the idea that it wasn't called a terrorist attack. So they're going down. The Republicans who are opposing the president are going down a path that leads nowhere. In fact, it leads, if you are to follow their breadcrumbs, to the same place that the president is leading, which is to deception. There may be no bigger story, no bigger opportunity for America than this, because if you understand who was responsible for killing the four Americans in Benghazi, if you understand their motivation, if you understand their allegiance, if you understand how they received the weapons that they were deploying, if you understand why they were doing what they were doing, and you understand also the rhetoric of the media and Washington regarding a war on terrorism and their hatred of anyone who opposes their secular humanist agenda, it all falls into place. Immediately you come to recognize that America's war on terrorism, where in the past decade we have squandered 6 trillion dollars, bankrupting our country, where by making two very bad situations infinitely worse in a suicidal act by our military, we squandered 10,000 American lives, making a bad situation worse, no less. And our actions led to the loss of a million Iraqi and Afghani lives. You'll have to confront the reality that that was all a lie, that there is no war on terrorism, that it is a complete and utter myth, that the American people are being deliberately deceived and manipulated. And all you really have to know is what happened in Benghazi and why the President of the United States and everyone associated with him chose to deliberately lie. And these revelations are open to you. Scott, would you share some of the sound bites we have from the week following the Benghazi attacks?
We've seen rage and violence directed at American embassies over an awful internet video that we had nothing to do with.
It is in response to a video, a film, that we have judged to be reprehensible and disgusting.
Of course, as you know, there was a violent protest outside of our embassy sparked by this hateful video.
It was a crude and disgusting video. It sparked outrage throughout the Muslim world.
Yeah, welcome to the realm of lies. There were two lies there. One is the video told the truth. Now, it was poorly produced. It was produced by a Copt Christian that's not in the filmmaking business. But it told the truth. It presented Muhammad as Muhammad actually was. There's only five sources regarding the words and deeds of Muhammad that were recorded within 200 years of his life and death. Those five sources all paint the exact same picture that was presented in the movie.
I'm going a different way. Even if because the video did tell the truth, but even if it didn't, that still doesn't, that makes it, it's still unacceptable for how they acted and what they did.
One of two lies. One of the lies is, and it is important to recognize both lies. You know, we spent the first part saying, all right, we know for a fact that it was Ansar Sharia, and they were operating under the instructions of the Muslim Brotherhood when they attacked. And we understand that Ansar Sharia are supporters of Sharia law, and therefore they're fundamentalist Muslims. So the United States deliberately denied their role, which was the truth, and perpetrated the lie that it was responsibility of the movie. That was lie number one. Lie number two is that the movie isn't reprehensible. The movie accurately depicts Muhammad's nature. If we, as a nation, get the courage to actually tell the truth about Muhammad, that he was a pedophile, that he was a rapist, that he was a mass murderer, that he was a vicious terrorist. If we ever get the courage and the wisdom to tell the truth, we can fight effectively Islamic terrorism. Hello, welcome back to Shattering Myths. I am your host, Yada. We're going to go to Robin here in a moment, who's calling in from Texas on a question regarding Ramadan. But before we do, I want to summarize the Benghazi issue so that Americans have a better perspective on the consequence and opportunity that is inherent in the lies regarding Benghazi. The President of the United States and many on both sides of the aisle are lying about a war on terrorism. You can't fight a war against a tactic. You have to know who the enemy is if you're going to defeat them. And then once you know who the enemy is, you have to design a strategy that is most effective against that particular enemy. We're not at a war against terrorism. The war is against Islam, fundamentalist Islam, not a corruption of it, not extremist Muslims, not radical Muslims, against Islam. The Islam of Muhammad, the Islam of the Quran, the Islam of the Hadith. Islam did not, or Islam was not, corrupted by the terrorists of 9/11. Islam corrupted them. which is why they acted as suicide bombers and flew planes into America's buildings. This exposes the fact that America is lying about the war on terrorism. Now, that also permeates the fact that we outspend the rest of the world combined on military and intelligence agencies. We ought not be doing that. The justification is always because of the war against terrorism, which does not exist. There is no reason to spend $650 billion on our military. They're doing nothing but harming ourselves, Americans, in this regard. They're making bad situations worse. There is no reason to spend hundreds of billions on intelligence gathering, because if you want to know this enemy and how to combat them, just read Prophet of Doom. It's free online. It means that the Patriot Act and its infringement on American freedoms was counterproductive. It means that the NSA's budget to spy on Americans is counterproductive. Lying about the Arab Spring and about bringing democracy to the Islamic world can be seen for the farce that it is. We unleashed fundamentalist Islam. It is an Islamic reformation. It was the worst thing that could possibly happen to the people living in those countries and to the rest of the world. We find that American politicians are absolutely willing to knowingly lie about cause and effect. And if you lie about cause and effect, then you have undermined the basis of reason. You've destroyed the worth of evidence, and you have undermined every aspect of good judgment and of living in a moral and just society. You have demonstrated that you cannot be trusted. Lying about Christians and conservatives being the enemy, as this administration did, also ties into their war against guns, where they want to disarm everyone. It also ties into their desperate need to spy on everyone. These things are all related. It also reveals that no one in Washington is able to think rationally, which means our government cannot solve the problems that it has caused. These things known, I'd like to turn to Robin. I understand you have a question on Ramadan.
Yes, good morning. My understanding, they just completed this month of Ramadan, which is fasting and prayer.
Right.
Not really fasting because they eat at night.
Correct.
But what is...
And it's not really prayer unless you consider mooning God while bowing to Satan and while shouting out slogans from a... a minaret that convey Satan's wish list of items, including him being worshipped as God. If you consider those things prayerful, then yes, that's precisely what they're doing.
So there is some sort of prescription for their prayer as well.
Oh, their prayer is prescribed. I mean, what is, it's interesting. In the Torah, Yahweh never once asked for us to pray to him. Never once. This prayer without ceasing thing, that's a Pauline myth. Satan wants you to bow down to him and jabber on endlessly to him. He's happy with that. God doesn't want you to jabber on endlessly to him, and he most certainly doesn't want you to bow down to him. He never asks us to bow down to him, and he never asks us to pray to him. So not something that God finds appealing. What God wants us to do is listen to what he has to say, come to know him, examine what he is offering by reading his testimony, reading his instructions, and then respond based upon what we learn. That's a much more effective conversation than it is us providing our laundry list of wants and desires to God. But yes, the Islamic prayer is a prescription. There's a debate between the Quran and the Hadith's presentation of how often Muslims are to moon God. And as is the case with almost everything in Islam, the Hadith takes precedence over the Quran.
Well, I know my stepsister doesn't get down a moon. She can't possibly do that. She's way too big for all that. But I'm asking my question really is about this holiday, Eid, that is following this EID. Is that how it's pronounced?
Sure.
What is this, just a day off from work then after?
Ramadan, first of all, moves around the calendar. So you can't say, you know, Ramadan starts and ends on a certain date because Muhammad was stupid. He thought that the inner calendar month that is prescribed by Yah's instructions on timing in the beginning of the year was satanic, so he removed it. And if you don't add a lunar month to a calendar on a fairly regular basis, then your calendar migrates around the solar year. And so Ramadan is based on the Islamic calendar, which is 12 months of 29.5 days per month. So it migrates all over the place. It can be at any time during the year. The second thing is that Ramadan was designed to designate the time that Muhammad received his first revelation. Now, the problem with that is that the first Quranic revelation is found in the 96th surah. So that shows you that the book is a little disorganized. In fact, it's even buried in the 96th surah. It's not the entire surah. And the very revelation that they claim that they are celebrating through Ramadan, the timing of that revelation, the revelation itself was absurd. It has Muhammad being beaten by the spirit. So the spirit of that is allegedly a representative of Allah beats him. It's kind of like Paul's experience where he had to go for days to recover because the experience was so brutal. Meeting with Satan. In fact, Muhammad knew it, as did Paul. Both Muhammad and Paul admitted to being demon-possessed following the experience. Now, in the case of Muhammad for this Ramadan experience, he was told, as an illiterate man, to read, ordered to read. Now, he's illiterate, and he says, you know, come on, I'm illiterate. How am I supposed to read? And he kept on getting beat up to the point that he wanted to commit suicide. He admits to wanting to commit suicide on the way back and then runs into his wife's arms, who is old enough to be his mother. And he says, comfort me, I fear for my life, I have been demon-possessed. That is what they're celebrating in Ramadan. Doesn't make much sense to me.
No.
But it's like most of Islam. It's just unbelievably stupid. Now, what Islamic terrorist groups say is that that the end of Ramadan, which is designates the time that the Quran was revealed to Muhammad, and it wasn't revealed. It was just a half a dozen lines on asking an illiterate man to read while he was being beaten to a pulp by this very nasty spirit in a cave while Muhammad was out practicing pagan religious rites, it's the most auspicious time to die. And so since Muhammad didn't give Muslims a reason to live and only gave them a reason to die as jihadists, killing peaceful Muslims and non-Muslims, this time in Ramadan is considered the most auspicious time to die, which is why there are always more terrorist attacks at this time than any other. For example, today in Quetta, Pakistan, we find 50 people were wounded, 28 were murdered by a suicide bomber. It is what happens at this time of year. Lovely religion.
Yeah.
Yep. So in Prophet of Doom, I took the Islamic scriptures and I actually ordered them chronologically. And what you will find is in a chapter entitled "With Whom Am I Speaking?" is the chapter that presents everything that is known about Muhammad's Ramadan experience as he was out practicing the pagan myths of the Arabs, and he meets this very nasty spirit in the cave, and precisely what was said to him and what his response to it was thereafter. It's all presented in the With Whom Am I Speaking chapter of Prophet of Doom. Prophet of Doom is available free at prophetofdoom.net. So if you want to know all about Ramadan, that's the place to turn. Does that answer your question, Robin, or do you have another?
Oh, quite sorry. It's just to summarize, then, is the EID thing is to round out his calendar then.
Well, it's specifically is designed to celebrate the first Quranic revelation of Muhammad. The difficulty of it is twofold. One is that because Muhammad protested the intercalendar month that kept the year consistent with the phases of the solar year, it migrates all over the year, so it no longer marks any time. I mean, it literally revolves around the solar year. So it does not actually mark the time that he had his revelation. And second, the revelation that it is marking was, to call it stupid would be too kind. Call it demonic would be more appropriate. And Muhammad himself knew that it was demonic at the time. So why people are celebrating a conversation with Satan by prayer and fasting at this time just shows you how debilitating religions are. We'll return with Shattering This after the commercial break. Welcome back to Shattering This. I'm your host, Yada. I'm going to share now a related story. This has been reported by Reuters. It is as troubling and as revealing as the story that broke about the NSA and the nation spying on Americans in direct contravention of the Fourth Amendment of the United States Constitution, as horrid as the Benghazi lies. A secretive U.S. Drug Enforcement Administration unit is funneling information from intelligence intercepts, from wiretaps, from informants, and from a massive database of telephone records to authorities across the nation to help them launch criminal investigations of Americans. So this information that's being collected on Americans where the president says, oh, we're not listening to your phone calls, we're not targeting ordinary Americans, we're only trying to nab the bad guys, the terrorists, before they commit terrorism acts. Well, a secret U.S. Drug Enforcement Administration unit is funneling information that they're getting from intelligence intercepts, from wiretaps, from informants, and massive database collections of telephone records. We're talking now about Snowden's release of the fact that our government was capturing this on every time an American uses the telephone to launch criminal investigations of Americans. Although these cases rarely involve national security issues, rarely, if ever, involve national security issues. The documents reviewed by Reuters show that law enforcement agents have been directed to conceal how such investigations actually begin. Not only from defense lawyers, but also sometimes even from prosecutors and judges. The documents show that federal agents are trained to recreate the investigative trail to effectively cover up where the information originated, a practice that some experts say violates, of course it does, the defendant's constitutional right to a fair trial. If defendants don't know how an investigation began, they cannot know how they should approach the evidence and decide what evidence is even admissible. Information that could reveal entrapment and biased witnesses. In other words, even the judicial system in the United States now is being staged for a specific result so that those that the government does not like, that it considers a threat for whatever reason, are literally being set up, and the courts are now kangaroo courts. They are staged, manipulated, all by using this same information that Mr. Snowden courageously exposed. Here's a quote. I have never heard of anything like this before, said Nancy Gertner, a Harvard Law School professor, who served as a federal judge from 1994 to 2011. Gertner and other legal experts said the program sounds more troubling even than the recent disclosures that the National Security Agency has been collecting domestic phone records. The NSA's effort is geared toward stopping terrorists, they say. The DEA program is supposed to target common criminals. But that's not how the information is being used. This is a quote by Gertner. It is one thing to create special rules for national security, Gertner said. Ordinary crime is entirely different. This sounds like they're phonying up investigations. They're making a joke of the judicial system. The unit of the DEA that distributes the information is called the Special Operations Division, or SOD. Two dozen partner agencies comprise the unit, including the FBI, CIA, NSA, Internal Revenue Service, and Department of Homeland Security. It was created in 1994, originally under the auspices of combating Latin American drug cartels. But it has grown from several dozen employees to many hundreds of employees. Today, much of the SOD's work is classified. Classified. Now, if you're fighting ordinary crime, nothing should be classified. That's the whole purpose of having a judicial system. But it's classified. And the officials are asked that its precise location in Virginia not even be revealed. They're not just spying on Americans. They're manipulating the system to incarcerate Americans, to silence Americans. The documents reviewed by Reuters are marked law enforcement sensitive, a government categorization that is meant to keep them confidential. If you're a patriot, you ought to rethink your position. I'm Yada. We'll be back with Shattering This after the news.